You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Ben Samperio, Chavez Green Fiends. Back here with my pal, Jeff Snyder, who did a good job yesterday on his own. Jeff, how are you doing?
I am doing great. Thanks, Vince.
Yeah. I'm glad you got to talk about your experience with Joel Noro in the booth. It feels so long ago, but even though it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it does feel like a long time.
Yeah, so today we will be talking a little bit about some MLB things, a new proposal that was made. We'll get a mock draft pick from one of our Locked On Network contributors. And then we will talk about the Dodgers' history in the first round of the draft. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff. So this morning we got Monday morning we got some news that MLB proposal, the new one from MLB to the union, was a 76-game season with a 75% prorated salary. Obviously different than what everything that's happened so far. And it was said that if the sides are unable to agree to a deal, the league has the ability to implement a schedule of its desired length, and it has been focused on a potential 48-game season. Jeff, what do you think of the latest?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a garbage proposal. Quite a few people pointed out that basically the total dollars MLB is willing to spend in this proposal are basically exactly the same as they've been willing to spend in the other two proposals. I saw a funny tweet that somebody retweeted. MLB saying, here, we got you a hamburger. And the union says, but you promised us steaks. And MLB rips the hamburger in half. Here, we got you two hamburgers. And the union says, that's not two hamburgers. And the league says, I can make four hamburgers if you want. That's kind of what they're doing. You know, just, okay, we want to pay you this much. You guys decide how you want to take it. It seems like the players are pretty dug in on not giving up any more pay. And I think that's at least as much for the issue of precedent as it is for, you know, we need our money right now. The fact is, you can't, if they were allow the league to slash their salaries more, pay less than the full prorated amount, that sets a really bad precedent for the future. And that's what the union has always been all about, is precedent for future players. You know, the players always talk about the players who came before them and laid the groundwork for them, and they want to be good stewards of the game for the future. So I understand why some fans are upset about it, but yeah, this is just another, I think it may just end up coming down to playing the 48-game season, because that's the only way for the owners to pay the amount they want to pay, the number of dollars, and for the union to not take extra pay cuts.
Yeah, it feels like this one was the MLB side trying to appeal to the casual fan, because, you know, the way things were worded, the way things were put out there, it kind of seems like they're going to play 76 games and get paid 75% of, you know, to the casual person, it's going to feel like 75% of what they were owed. And that's not what it is. They would get 75% of the already prorated salary. So 75 games would be less than 50% of what they were already going to get paid. So for the most part, haven't really seen that sentiment on social media, at least not from what I see. So that's a good thing. You know, the players still have fans kind of on their side for the most part. Obviously, they're going to, you know, some fans are just want them to make a deal and think that it's just a bunch of millionaires and billionaires crying about money. But yeah, MLB seems set in its ways on how much they want to spend, and they just keep, you know, putting a new coat of paint on it and try to present it as something new, even though it's not anything new. So the way it's going, even some of the reporters are putting out there, it's not a lot of optimism right now. You know, some players have been a little bit outspoken on Twitter, and even they, I think Sean Doolittle said, they do recognize what would happen if, you know, they don't get a deal done or if they have to succumb to the 48-game season. But, you know, it's also a matter of them, like I said, setting the precedent, and they've caught in a lot of negotiations in previous years and kind of always do. So they kind of have to make that stand now, especially before the big CBA next year. So I know it kind of sucks because, you know, us as fans, we're kind of caught in the middle of all of it. But, you know, in the long run, it's probably going to be better. But right now, it just sucks.
Yeah, and, you know, the millionaires versus billionaires thing always makes me laugh. You know, I've made my point before that, for me, right and wrong has nothing to do with the relative amount of money that each side has. In this case, the players are in the right because they're in the right. But lumping millionaires and billionaires into the same category, here's a little exercise for you. If there's a billionaire, Vince, who decided he wanted to pay you and me to do this podcast, and he wanted to pay us each $1 million a year, we would have to do this podcast for 500 years before he had paid us $1 billion combined. A million and a billion are significantly different numbers, and it's important to remember that. I was actually texting with this is a change of subject a little bit. I was texting with a player today asking about the negotiations, and he didn't give me too much information, but I asked him about the idea of deferral because, like I said before, it's not a wealth issue, it's a cash flow issue. And that seems like the logical endpoint. And I asked this player about it, and he said, yeah, we proposed that, and it got laughed at. And his assumption was that the thing the owners didn't like about it was that the players wanted deferral with interest. So maybe there's still potential there, but that was disheartening to me because it made me think maybe a compromise isn't. I've always just assumed eventually they're going to be smart and get to the right compromise, and now I'm worried that they won't.
You know, just feel like it's going to have to end up being that 40 or 50 game proposal just based on how much time is left and how much time it would take. We will move on, and we're going to have right now a mock draft pick for the Dodgers pick in the draft on Thursday.
Jeff, let's move on to the last pick of the first round, last pick of the first segment here. The Los Angeles Dodgers of Los Angeles, who are they taking with the 29th pick to end the first round?
We have another Mississippi State product, but maybe not the one you think. Not a Dodgers redrafting of JT again here, but we have Jordan Westberg, the shortstop, who most think will probably move off shortstop. If Foskey is kind of the guy who has the hit tool, Westberg is more the guy with the power tool as an infielder there. I figure you know the Dodgers better than I, so I'll just throw it to you for the rest.
Well, thanks, Jeff. Yeah, we talk about how the Dodgers develop hitters constantly. You see guys, they take players that do have a question about their hit tool. We saw it where they have a lot of success with this, and sometimes they don't, such as Jaron Kendall. But we see the Dodgers continue to just hammer away at these guys that have some questions about their hit tool, have the bat speed, and have the raw fundamentals beyond that. Jordan Westberg fits that to a T. You know, you talked about his double play partner, Justin Foscue, and Foscue does have the better feel for hitting, but it does seem like Westberg does have a better chance to stick at shortstop and may have a little bit more power there. You know, I think this is the absolute floor for Justin Foscue. I think the Dodgers are taking a Mississippi State player no matter what. And we got a ton of them, as you noted. Shout out to all the Hail State fans out there.
You know, Hail State, that is very clearly one of the top programs around anymore. If you want to watch for draft prospects, see as many of their games as possible.
Yeah, and agree. It's so fun to go to Mississippi State games. They came out here and played UCLA a few years ago. It was a blast seeing all the Hail State fans. But going back to Jordan Westberg, I mean, he pulls the ball with authority. He did have a nice performance on the Cape Cod. The Dodgers do lean towards taking players from bigger programs such as Hail State. So I think this is where the Dodgers are going to go with this 29th pick to close out the first round.
There are a lot of makes and models of cars these days, and if you need car parts, it's pretty hard to keep it all stocked on a traditional chain storefront. So you can't just go to the store if you want, you know, your car part. It's probably not going to be there. But you know where they do have all those parts? At rockauto.com. If you want to repair and maintain your cars, you can save money by going to rockauto.com, finding the exact same auto parts at a chain store or the dealership for even cheaper. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com doesn't have that. Everybody gets the same price, and all those prices are low. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for over 20 years. Right now, you go to RockAuto.com and shop for all your parts. And if you end up buying something, make sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. And after you're done buying car parts, you can go buy some protein bars. Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars. So we here, Jeff and I, received a box of Built Bars before we started promoting them. And I actually finished my box and actually bought another box. So if that's not enough of an endorsement, I don't know what is, for me to spend money on protein bars, which I've never done in my life. That's got to show that they're worth something. They are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They got a bunch of different flavors. They're all covered in chocolate. They all taste great. They're all soft and easy to chew. And they're just great for what you need. So right now you can get $10 off your first order. You go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON, $10 off. And keep it locked on, Dodgers. All right, Jeff. So bringing back the obscure former Dodger, no real rhyme or reason to this one. I just kind of started thinking of Dodgers, and I thought of one. And surprisingly, he wasn't with the Dodgers as long as I thought for some reason. But that's Randy Wolf. Full name, Randall Christopher Wolf. He pitched for the Dodgers two different times, in 2007 and then again in 2009. His 2009 year was surprisingly pretty good. He went 11-7, but he had a 3.23 ERA, 34 games started, threw 214 innings, a FIP of 3.96, which obviously a little higher, but he was, you know, they're kind of one of their guys that year. And overall, he had a 16-year career. Most of that spent in Philadelphia, a few years in Milwaukee, and then a bunch of 1 years with a bunch of other teams. But yeah, I don't really have too much on Randy Wolf. He served his time. He was one of the, you know, started the playoffs, a couple playoff games back in 2009. You know, one of his best years that time. But other than that, not too much. The only other thing I really remember is that his brother is a major league umpire, and Vin Scully made sure to bring that up every single time he pitched, so you would never forget it. But other than that, that's all I got on Randy Wolf. Jeff, you got anything?
Yeah, Jim Wolf is jacked. He's a buff umpire. Randy Wolf was also drafted by the Dodgers out of high school on my 17th birthday, but didn't sign, and then was drafted by the Phillies. One thing that's interesting to me, I always enjoy looking at, he played for six different teams. He was only traded once in his career, though. He just constantly hit free agency and signed, and then became a free agent again and signed again, and bounced around to, that's the teams he played in the big leagues with, but looks like he had probably about 10 organizations, but just didn't get traded very often, just bounced around. Both times he was with the Dodgers, he just signed as a free agent. And I liked Randy Wolf. Nothing much that I remember much, but I remember liking him.
All right, let's move on to guys that were picked by the Dodgers in the first round. The draft as we know it now began in 1965. The Dodgers have picked a bunch of players in that time, mostly pitchers. And if you had to make a top five list, it would be fairly easy. Just because, you know, the Dodgers haven't had that much success in the first round in terms of, you know, strong talent. Jeff, I know you got a little bit deeper into the numbers on that, and then kind of, you know, your opening salvo in this conversation.
Yeah, you know, making a top five, it would be easy, but you'd have to define how you were qualifying at first, because a lot of the success of Dodgers first rounders did not come with the Dodgers, you know. And so if you just have it going, guys the Dodgers picked in the first round who went on to have good careers, that's one list. But guys the Dodgers picked on in the first round who went on to have success with the Dodgers, that's a significantly different list. The number one name on both lists is the same, but after that, it changes quite dramatically.
Yeah, yeah. There's, you know, guys like Paul Konerko, who drafted first round by the Dodgers, but obviously became the talent he is in Chicago. There's Rick Sutcliffe, who won a Rookie of the Year with the Dodgers, but, you know, not really known as a Dodger per se. You know, you got guys that part of World Series champion winning teams. You got Socha, Bob Welch, Steve Howe, Dave Anderson, Franklin Stubbs. And then later on, you know, what should have been Clayton Kershaw and Corey Seager and Walker Buehler. Oh, no, Buehler wasn't there, but he would have been part somehow. But yeah, there's few and far between of guys that were significant. A lot of names that probably could fit obscure former Dodgers, like Jason Repko, Scott Elbert, Blake DeWitt, Chris Withrow, some of these guys who we've actually done. You know, our pal Zach Lee, or my pal Zach Lee, was the first round pick for the Dodgers. But, you know, not until very recently, 2012 on, the Dodgers have hit a little more on first round picks. But before that, there was, you know, other than Kershaw, it was a pretty black hole for a little while, other than a couple names that you'll remember that stood out.
Yeah, yeah, and we're hoping, you know, even since 2012, a lot of it is hope. Obviously, Corey Seager has been great. And then, you know, there's a few guys recently, Gavin Lux, Will Smith, Walker Buehler, obviously, who we are expecting to do big things. But yeah, if you look at that time from basically between when they picked Chad Billingsley in 2003 and when they picked Corey Seager in 2012, Clayton Kershaw is the only really good pick there. You know, you have, in order, you have Blake DeWitt, who made the big leagues, had some contributions, but was nothing to write home about, and Justin Orenduff, who never made the big leagues. He was a fourth-year senior out of college, which is really interesting. Maybe he was. Maybe I'm reading that wrong. But yeah, he never made the big leagues. Scott Elbert was also there in 2004. Another guy who made the big leagues but never fulfilled his potential. Then they drafted Luke Hochevar, who we've talked about a lot, didn't even sign with them. Preston Mattingly and Brian Morris were both in the first round after Clayton Kershaw. Brian Morris, I think he was part of that. Which trade was he part of? The Adrian Gonzalez trade or the... Maybe. I can't remember. Preston Mattingly, obviously.
Who part of the Manny trade?
Oh, the Manny trade. That's right. I knew it was something involving the Red Sox. Preston Mattingly never made the big leagues. James Adkins never made the big leagues. Chris Withrow had a lot of potential but got hurt. Ethan Martin made the big leagues, but he would have better stats if he hadn't made the big leagues. Aaron Miller never made the big leagues. Zach Lee, you know, pitched one game with the Dodgers and then got traded for somebody. I can't remember who. Maybe you could look that up for me, Vince. Chris Reed made the big leagues barely. And then, you know, then you get to Corey Seager. Just a lot of, you know, if you average out all their first round picks during that span, it's a pretty good number, because Clayton Kershaw obviously lifts the whole group. But if you take out Kershaw, that was a dark spell for Dodgers first round picks.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you look at every team, you know, the hit percentage on first round picks is fairly low. But, you know, for the team like the Dodgers, who have so many Rookie of the Years and, you know, so many other great talent, a lot of that talent weren't first-round picks. And it's pretty crazy to think about, pretty crazy to see. Some other names of note that the Dodgers drafted in the first round, Bobby Valentine, you probably remember him more as the Mets manager, and when he wore the disguise in the dugout. He was drafted by the Dodgers in 1968. Rick Rodin, who's, you know, he's been talked about on this podcast before for some reason. Dodgers took him in 71, Chris Gwynn in 1985, Tom Goodwin 1989, Darren Dreyfurt, you know, Paul Konerko, like we said, James Loney in 2002. But yeah, not a lot of, you know, top flight talent there. And the other one that I saw pop up again today that you had mentioned before, or somehow, I don't know if we mentioned it or what, is, you know, you think about 93 and then it could have been Alex Rodriguez instead of Darren Dreyfurt. Yeah, you think you talked about it. And, you know, that's always going to be an enticing thought to have as a Dodger fan.
Yeah, for sure. You know, yeah, like you said, we were talking about how not many of the Dodgers Rookie of the Years have been first round draft picks. But then you also think the Dodgers have three guys who they've picked in the first round and then won the Rookie of the Year for the Dodgers. I would guess that's one of the higher totals in the majors, just because guys, you know, who win the Rookie of the Year, A, aren't always first round picks, B, don't always win the Rookie of the Year with the team that drafted them, and C, most teams haven't won nearly as many Rookies of the Year as the Dodgers have. So they have Rick Sutcliffe and Steve Howe and Corey Seager. That's their only three first round picks to win the Rookie of the Year. But maybe I'll have to make a note to myself to do that research tomorrow and see, because I wouldn't be surprised if there's no other team in baseball that has more first round picks who've won the Rookie of the Year for that, for the team that drafted them.
Yeah, that's possible. And, you know, going back on the Zach Lee point, a lot of times first round picks maybe become prospects that can become traded for players of note. Zach Lee, the Dodgers kind of got lucky with that one. His value was always more as a trade chip. The Dodgers never cashed in that trade chip until it was too late, or so we thought. It ended up working out when they traded him for Chris Taylor. But I mean, other than, you know, you said Brian Morris, who was in the Manny trade, but even in that wasn't a trade that required much capital. The Dodgers were taking on, taking the burden off the Red Sox in that sense. But other than that, I mean, a lot of these guys I don't really recognize from being big parts of trades that got the Dodgers significant talent either. So those guys just never really worked out, which is, you know, kind of crazy. But, you know.
Yeah, the one other notable one is Grant Holmes was in the Rich Hill trade.
Yeah,
there's a lot of these guys who you just look. You know, Paul Konerko was actually part of a big trade at the time. He was who the Dodgers traded to the Reds for Jeff Shaw at the All-Star break. Shaw was an All-Star closer, and the Dodgers needed a closer. That's a trade that, in hindsight, it maybe looks worse, but at the time, it was actually a big deal. Jeff Shaw was a big name, and, you know, so they used Konerko that way. But, yeah, beyond that, you look at some of these guys, and it's just like, yeah. And so many guys, you know, Chris Gwynn, did they draft him because he was Tony Gwynn's brother? Maybe. Obviously, Preston Mattingly, did they draft him because he was Don Mattingly's son? Hard to tell, hard to see using a first-round pick on a guy just because of his last name, but Chris Gwynn definitely was never a good major leaguer, so you wonder how much of it was just kind of hoping on that name.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, just recently, there's two guys that they didn't end up signing, Kyle Funkhauser, JT Ginn. Funkhauser, I think that was, you know, him not signing didn't turn out to be the worst thing. I think he went back to school, and I don't know. He's probably doing all right wherever he's at, but the Dodgers aren't.
He ended up getting drafted by the Tigers the next year.
Okay, so, yeah. But, you know, and most recently you got Lux and Will Smith in 2016, which seems to be a good, really good first round. Two guys that should sit in the lineup for the next 5-10 years, hopefully. But then you got guys that, you know, we're not entirely sure yet. You got Sheffield, you got Jordan Sheffield, Jaron Kendall. And then, you know, we don't know about Cody Hosey and Michael Bush yet, but we'll see. You know, the first round is volatile for all teams, so the draft is never an exact science. That's why you see guys taking so low, do so well, and you see guys taking so high, not do so well. So, but, yeah, I don't think I've ever really gotten deep into Dodgers first-round picks, and when it's all kind of laid out in front of you, it's like, not that great.
Yeah, in some ways, it's more fun to look through their later picks because you see where they got Cody Bellinger. You know, obviously, Mike Piazza is the most famous example You know, the 62nd round doesn't happen at all anymore. And Mike Piazza, I think, is the only player ever even make the big leagues who was drafted that late, let alone make the Hall of Fame. But, you know, some of those 2nd through 10th round guys have been really big contributors for the Dodgers in the last several years. Obviously, they've had rookies of the year from those spots. But even more importantly, just guys like, you know, Ross Stripling, Cody Bellinger, Alex Verdugo, guys like that who they've picked a little bit later, and those guys have come on to actually produce for the team. I think that's where the Dodgers have really shined, especially in the last 6 or 8 years with their drafting a little bit lower.
Yeah, the draft and obviously player development is a big part of it. We've talked to a few players. You talked to, you know, Coach Petey last week, and they all kind of say the same thing. You know, the Dodgers, when they kind of redid their whole player development system when Gabe Kapler took over a few years back, you know, they really put the focus on development, and they've seen it pay off in a lot of different ways. I mean, even guys like Matt Beatty and Kyle Garlick, who were taken like 20-30 round or whatever it was, have been able to step in and contribute, and a bunch of guys from all over the draft have been able to step in and contribute. So, you know, at least recently, it's really fun to look back and see what the Dodgers have done, especially drafting in the, you know, the 20 to 30 pick the last 7 years or so. So it's, you know, only gets you more excited to see what's going to come as they keep going forward.
Yeah, Jose De Leon is another low draft pick who they turned into a big leaguer and then a trade chip. I think he was, I'm not looking at his page right now, but I think he was 28th round or something like that. And so, yeah, I'm interested to see what the Dodgers do in this draft this week. Obviously, we'll have more to talk about after the fact. Neither of us knows enough about these guys who are getting drafted this week to really have a major conversation about it beforehand. But I do expect the Dodgers to continue to draft smart and maybe even go for some of those guys who, you know, drafting over slot or whatever, guys who maybe signability concerns. I know that's how they've gotten some of their guys a little bit later. They draft guys who are maybe, you know, or injured guys. That's how they got Walker Buehler. You know, Buehler didn't have a great junior season because he was hurt, and the Dodgers took him in the first round and said, "We know you're hurt. Here's your money. Go have surgery, and let's turn you into one of the best pitchers in baseball." And it's exciting to be a fan of a team that has a track record of being able to do stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So we will definitely talk about the draft after the draft on Friday, or have someone that's smarter than us about the draft to talk about it. But Jeff, you got anything else before we head out?
No, I don't think so.
All right, guys, thank you all for listening. Make sure to subscribe, download, listen, rate, review, tell your friends, tell your family, all that good stuff. Put our names out there if you are so kind. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. You can follow Jeff at Snydog. That's on Twitter. You can follow me at Vince Samperio. You can call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK or an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!